All right. Carpenter Series 301, Spiritual Gifts. We say, building our lives to what? Be more like Jesus. That's our goal, right? And he was connected to God, connected to people, and connected to his calling, and so should we be. Our key verse for 301 is Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We realize that we were created on purpose, and you were created for purpose by God. He has a destiny. He has a plan. He has a reason. This all makes sense. We just got to key in to all the things that he has in store for us. God has uniquely designed us for a purpose, and he's given you a personality. He's given you spiritual gifts. He's given you strengths, and you've gone through life experiences that he's using in order that you might fulfill the purpose and call that God has for you. Last time we looked at personalities, so this time we're going to talk about discovering your spiritual gifts. We'll start with spiritual gifts, what they are not in your notes. Spiritual gifts are not, number one, natural talents. Not natural talents. Each of us have natural talents. Examples, humor, intelligence. Maybe you're able to tell great jokes. You're a smart person. You like math. You like English. We have all of these natural talents. These are given to the entire human race. And maybe at conversion, God can take a natural talent and do it with a spiritual aspect and make it a spiritual gift. But the idea is that they're not just natural talents that everybody out there has. Secondly, spiritual gifts are not the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit is an extension of the character of Christ. They are the results of Christ in your life, or should be the results of Christ in your life. And all Christians should let these fruits, all of these fruits, should be operating in our life and should be growing in our life. But spiritual gifts are an extension of the ministry of Christ. Thirdly, spiritual gifts are not a Christian role. A Christian role. God calls all Christians to many roles without them having a spiritual gift in that role. For example, if you look and say, well, I don't really have the gift of mercy, so I'm sorry, I can't be compassionate on you. Well, that's a Christian role. We should be merciful, right? We should be merciful in Jude 1. We should be merciful. We should show mercy to people. That's how we're communicating the heart of God himself, of Jesus Christ. He was merciful. We need to be in the same way. You can't say, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism, therefore I don't have to witness or share my faith with nobody because I'm ungifted. And that's not true. There is a role of sharing your faith with people. The scripture talks about, but sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason of the hope that lies within you. The hope that lies within me is the reality of Jesus Christ in my life, of what he does, and he changes me here and has an awesome plan for my life, and he's going to give me heaven eternal in the end. I mean, there's a hope here. We must, as Christians, communicate that, whether you have this great gift of evangelism or not. We have the role to communicate. So there are a lot of Christian roles. And we may not have that particular gift, but we must be involved. We all have the role, but some have the gift. And spiritual gifts help you do the role better. But we still must do the role whether you have the gift or not. So what are spiritual gifts? In your notes, spiritual gifts are special attributes or tendencies given by the Holy Spirit. Given by the Holy Spirit to each member of the body according to God's grace for use in the context of the local church. And if you could add this on, and the world, because I don't think it stops just at the local church. Because we have a world, we're trying to build up the body of Christ, but we're also trying to change a world out there that needs to know Jesus Christ, and he's given us gifts to help grow the body and reach the world. and reach the world. The gift available to all Christians is the Holy Spirit of God Himself. He gives all of the gifts. The Holy Spirit is the gift giver. He's the one who gives these gifts. Some gifts will be more manifest in your life. Some less. That's okay. He manifests Himself through Christians as He chooses according to the needs of the kingdom. And I put this in your notes. The church can unleash tremendous energy and effectiveness for the Lord by helping people discover, develop, and utilize their spiritual giftings. Discover, develop, and utilize. We need all three. You need to discover them. A lot of people don't even know what your spiritual gifts are. Do you know what they are? We're going to help you discover those. And then develop those. Well, I guess I got it. That's just it. No. Then you got to utilize it. You got to grow in it. You got to move in it. You got to develop that gift like you would anything else. And then you got to use it. And use it for the kingdom of God and watch His kingdom advance and watch the adventure begin in an amazing way as we fulfill the calling and purposes of our God and the destiny He has for us in this adventuresome way, using our personalities and using our spiritual gifts. The purpose of discovering and discussing spiritual gifts is to help us realize our full potential in Christ. When I think about a spiritual gift, if I wanted to go to Seattle today, I could start out, go down Grand and start walking, okay? I could get there by walking. You can get there by walking, right? Or somebody could give me a gift, a bicycle, and I could ride all the way there, right? I could pedal myself there. Or somebody could give me a gift and give me a car, and I could drive all the way there. That would be fun. Or somebody could give me a gift, and I could take a jet all the way there. Now, I'm doing it myself. I'm walking. But I would rather be enabled by the gifts of God to do it better and more efficiently and more powerfully. Understand? That's what spiritual gifts are. You don't need a spiritual gift to get to heaven. It's not the qualification. They'll stand at the door and go, hey, what's your spiritual gift? Oh, you don't have one? Sorry. You're gone. You do have them. You just haven't discovered them. But you do need spiritual gifts to maximize your calling and your God-given purpose so that you might enjoy this adventure called Christianity, living for Christ and utilizing the gifts that He's given us to enjoy it at a different level. Now, as you continue on here, and you have page 2 of your notes, I've given you a chart, all right? And I'm going to use this chart along with the rest of your notes starting on page 3. So you're going to have to look at the chart on page 2, and then we're going to continue on our notes on page 3, okay? I'm going to give you 3 biblical passages regarding spiritual gifts, 3 main ones. There's a bunch of other ones too we'll talk about, but there's 3 main passages in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians chapter 4. From these 3 chapters, as well as various other scriptures, we have developed our list of spiritual gifts. The list from these chapters overlap, and they're going to overlap. You're going to see, and that's why we read the chart and show you how some of these gifts overlap. They're repeated in different chapters. None is complete in itself. Most people do not agree with how many spiritual gifts there are. There isn't a thing in the scripture that goes, and the number of spiritual gifts are. So people are trying to look and delineate and look at it and figure out, how many spiritual gifts are there? We list 27. Some people list less. Some people list a lot more. But for our purpose here, I want to talk about these 27 gifts. And we're going to talk about these 3 main chapters, 1 Corinthians 12. Our first set of scriptures, okay? First set here in your chart. Starts with verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, if you have your Bible out, you'll see the word gifts is italicized, meaning that the translators added that word in order to make sense of it. A lot of times when you see italicized words in your Bible, that means the translator put that in to help you understand what they were talking about. It actually isn't there in the Greek. So it basically says now concerning spiritual, but he's talking about, well, these spiritual gifts. The word spiritual here is Strong's word pneumatikos. Everybody say pneumatikos. Pneumatikos. That's the Greek word here. It also comes from the word pneuma. Everybody say pneuma. Pneuma speaks of the air, breath. The Holy Spirit is likened to a breath, the wind. Okay? In Scripture, it's likened there. The Holy Spirit. So what he's talking about now concerning the Holy Spirit here, it's non-carnal, a spirit, supernatural. It's not carnal. It's not fleshly, but supernatural. It's from the Holy Spirit. It's from the Holy Spirit. So this first verse, we could say, now concerning the Holy Spirit and what he brings. So this first verse means, now concerning the Holy Spirit and what he brings to you. The Holy Spirit brings something to you. What is it? And he says this then, brethren, I do not want you to be, say it with me, ignorant. I wish we would have given you the Strong's word here. That word means not to know or to ignore. Not to know or to simply ignore and do nothing with it. Well, I'm confused by it, so I just ignore it. God doesn't want you to ignore difficult things. He wants you to pursue and find out what's there. And here he's saying, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant of these spirituals, of what the Holy Spirit has brought to you. I don't want you to ignore them. God wants us to understand the importance of the Holy Spirit and of spiritual gifts that he brings. Now, in our chart here, the Holy Spirit is bringing these gifts, but he branches it into three areas. He's going to branch, and I've given you the three areas here, all right? The Holy Spirit brings gifts into three different areas, three different branches. The first one, there are diversities. The word diversities is a Strong's word that means variety. There's a variety of them, a distinction or a variety. There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, the first branch, variety of gifts. That word gifts, this first branch, the diversity of gifts, is this word, gifts is the word charisma. It's where we get charismatic from. Gifts, charisma, a divine gratitude, a spiritual endowment. This is what the word gift here means. Free gift, to grant as a favor. So, this first branch, gifts are supernatural endowments. Gifts are supernatural endowments to enable us to move supernaturally, to minister to people, and it's been given by the Holy Spirit. The first branch. The first branch. The second branch. There are diversities, or it says there are differences. It's also that word differences is the same word diversities, of ministries, but the same Lord. The varieties of ministries. What's the word ministry? The second branch. What is that? The word ministries is the word diakonia. Diakonia. And it means attendance. A servant. It means to run on errands. To attend. To be a waiter. To be a server. Serving people. The second branch. Ministries are servants that serve the body of Christ like Christ did. We'll find out as we continue in our study, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, these aspects of ministries that are here to be on the top of the ladder. No. If you know of our leadership structure here, I tell you, if you want to be a leader here, okay, then you're on the bottom because we put our people on the top. Because here in this church, we serve people. In this church, we give our lives for people. So if you want to be in leadership here, you're going to be at the bottom of the pyramid, not at the top. The bottom. I like being at the bottom. It says, and there are third branch. So first branch gifts, second branch ministries, third branch of what the Holy Spirit brings. And there are diversities or variety again of activities, but the same God who works all in all. This third branch, diversity of activities. The word activities is a strong word, energema. Say that with me. Energema. It means to be active. efficient. It means to help out. So activities, this third branch of what the Holy Spirit gifts that he gives us, classification, activities are helps to the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit gives gifts, ministries, and activities. They're all called gifts, but there's this charisma, diakonia, and then energema. These three aspects that are coming down the line of what the Holy Spirit brings to us as gifts. Verse 7, continuing on. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to a few, only some. You don't got none. To each one. Each one of us. Why? For the profit of all. Not for your own benefit, to benefit everybody else. And in the process, you're benefited because as we all grow, we all grow. This word manifestation, expression, a bestowment, to render apparent. You see, the Holy Spirit bestows gifts on each of us to benefit others. That's why he gave them. To benefit others. That's what makes it a spiritual gift and not a natural talent. It was given to you by the whole, by the breath, by the Holy Spirit of God, you have been enabled. Amazing. It's powerful. But we're ignorant of it. We go, instead of understanding, wow, what do I got? Therefore, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, these spiritual gifts, fall into one of the three categories. Make sense here now? The gifts or the charisma or the endowment, ministries, diakonia, servant or serving, activities, energema, helps, or I say, get her done. I mean, they're the get her done. What are you doing here? I'm here to help you get her done. Getting it done. Getting it done. So not only has God given you a personality, but he's given you spiritual gifts to accomplish your purpose. Continue on in 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 8. For to one is given, he's going to talk about now these gifts. It just so happens in this list here, they're all going to be the charisma. They're all going to be under branch one. And he gives them to us. For to one is given word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another, word of knowledge, to another, faith, to another, gift of healings, to another, working of miracles, to another, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kind of tongues, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. I'm going to, I need you to do, yeah, I need you, okay, can you do, yeah, we need this over here. God is dishing out and distributing these gifts. You see, it's a God thing. It's a God thing. It's a God thing. He gives out the gifts as he wills, and for his purpose, he gives these to enable you to fulfill your calling, to do your job, to do what he's purposed you to do. Now, he didn't give everyone all the gifts. He didn't have all of them, all right, because he wants us to need each other. But also, he's given you the Holy Spirit, right? Who has all of the gifts? Who's the giver of all those gifts, those three branches? Who lives inside of you? All right, so you have an enablement in there, right? He doesn't want you to be a cowboy and run everything. Well, we like cowboys. But what I'm saying is, hey, well, I'm going to do everything. No. He wants to spread it out. But let's say you were in an accident. You get out of your car and you realize, oh my gosh, this person's hurting and they're dying. Oh, if I only had the gift of faith and the gift of healings, I would pray for the guy, but I don't. So, sorry, brother. No, you have the Holy Spirit. In the body, hey, we're all doing different things. But right here, this is what's needed. I have the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I know this is my main gift, but this guy needs to get healed. I'm going to pray for him to get healed. I'm going to believe for him to get healed. Understand what I'm saying here between what he does in the church body to not have one person running everything, but we have the Holy Spirit in us. You have access to the resources of heaven. This first branch, word of wisdom, to have a supernatural insight from God. Word of knowledge. What we do here on Sunday and Wednesday, when people are coming up, the Lord gives them an inkling of something. There's somebody here with this thing. And so all of a sudden it's not known, but God makes it known to them. And as they say it, and you know that God knows what you know, all of a sudden you start realizing that God is bigger and more amazing and he's more powerful. And all of a sudden it changes your life. We've got faith to believe. We got gifts of healings to pray for and believe that they're going to get healed. We got working of miracles to do supernatural things. They believe it's going to happen. We have prophecy, hearing the voice of God and delivering it to bring encouragement, exhortation, and comfort that we do. There was prophecy here too that was what? It encouraged us. It got us excited. God told us what he felt about us and how he loves us, and he wants to encourage us and let us know that he's with us. That's what prophecy does. It's why we exercise it here on Sunday and on Wednesday. Discerning of spirits, knowing what spirit it's from, different kind of tongues. And this is different between corporate and personal. We talked about personal gift of tongues in our 101 class, talking about speaking in tongues for personal edification. This is more for a corporate edification. We don't usually do this very much in our church, for sure. And then interpretation of tongues, be able to interpret what was said. Continuing on in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 28 through 30, here's another list. And God has appointed these in the church: first, apostles; second, prophets; third, teachers. Apostles over many churches; prophets, the office of a prophet. One who prophesies has the office of a prophet, is called to a different level than just prophesying. We have a resident prophet. Steve Stone is amazing. Steve Stone. Steve, stand up for a second so everybody knows who you are. See his white hair? He's like Moses. I know. Here's the thing I want to talk to you about, a spiritual gift, okay, for a moment, if I can. And hopefully, Steve, this won't uncover you. But if you've talked to Steve personally and you have a dialogue with him, you find out real quick that Steve stutters. He can't speak. He'll get stuttered and he'll get locked on a word. But when he stands to the microphone or at water baptism, when he begins to prophesy and a spiritual gift comes upon him, he don't stutter. And the words and the visions and the way he says it that comes to him, I go, whoa, how did that come like that? I don't get that. I didn't get that email. He gets them. It's a spiritual gift. Or gifting. Third, teachers. They educate the saints. These are all the charisma. Those are the diakonia, all right? The second line. After that, miracles and gifts of healings. Now they're overlapping some here. That's the charisma channel here. Helps and administrations. That's the activities or energema. Varieties of tongues. That's back to charisma again. That chart. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? When he's saying speak with tongues, he's talking about corporately for a corporate message, not privately. Do all interpret another gift here, charisma gift? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I will show you a more excellent way. This is the very last verse in 12, and here's the first verse in 13. The more excellent way. The most excellent way to use spiritual gifts is in, say it with me, love. Look what it says here in 1 Corinthians 1. Now, 1 Corinthians 12 is about gift. 1 Corinthians 14 is about gift. And smacked right in the middle is 13. Though I speak with tongues, gift, of men and angels, and don't have love, I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, another gift, and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, a word of knowledge, and though I have all faith, and that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am, say it with me, nothing. You are nothing. Without love. A lot of people that like to minister in gifts to show off, but we're nothing if we don't exercise any gift with the compassion of love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but don't have love. Now, that's a pretty amazing person, wouldn't you agree? But don't have love as the motivation? It profits me nada. Chapter 13 on love is the attitude and reason and motivation that all spiritual gifts are to be ministered out of love. Love for Christ, love for his body, love for the church, love for the lost. That's why he gave us these gifts, that we might help them all in love. He didn't give you gifts so you could be a wah, wah, wah. Wah, wah, wah. And you got your spiritual guns right here. And you're walking around with them guns going, oh, I can do that. Watch it. You need a word of knowledge? What do you need, sweetheart? That isn't why God gave you those, all right? He didn't give them to puff you up. If anything, you should be puffed down. I don't think Jesus, when he did something, go, hey, watch this! I'm really good at this. He just went there, cared about the person, loving them, and began to minister to them. I care about you, not how I look, not my fancy gun or spurs. You see, love sandwiched between 12 and 14, the gifts sandwiched between these two is love. Jesus has the meat, all right? Let me tell you what. These things just help us bring this to your mouth. The purpose of everything is to communicate God's love to people that need to see him, accept him, and begin to walk in him and see their life change. And it happens because we bring this. These are the spiritual gifts. This is what we're bringing. Without that, who wants this? Anybody want some bread? Starving high or college kids over here. Want. Who's hungry? Who's still hungry? Who needs something? Who needs something? Who needs a pick me up? Who's new? Is anybody new here? You're new? You're new? Come on over here. Come on over here. Okay. But you have to eat it in front of everybody and go, ah. Oh. Who wants the bread?
Not me.
It ain't good. It ain't good for nothing. It ain't good for nothing. It ain't good for nothing. God gave us spiritual gifts so we could communicate his love to a lost world so it would be changed. He gave us powerful gifts, awesome gifts, wonderful gifts, gifts that are kind of confusing. But he gave them to us to advance his cause. Not for you to look like you're somebody. Because the more nobody you are, the better you'll operate in the gifts. My next point. Desire spiritual gifts. A lot of people don't desire them. They're going, oh, if he wants me to have them, he'll throw it on me. How many of you, when you went to get saved, just stood there, did nothing, and all of a sudden, bam, you got saved? What usually happens is go, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Boom! We ask him in, and guess what he does? Boom. Sometimes we need to go, Lord, what are my gifts? What are they? Lord, I want to be utilized. I want to communicate that meat to the world. Give me the means to do it. Desire spiritual gifts. The very last verse of chapter 12. But earnestly, say it with me, desire. You know what the King James says right there? The King James says, but earnestly covet spiritual gifts. I thought coveting was bad. Oh, if you want more of God, covet your heart out. Covet spiritual gifts, the best gifts. And then there's this love chapter. Last verse, desire spiritual gifts. Love, first verse of 14, talking about spiritual gifts again. Look what it says. Pursue love. He's recapping just what he said in one chapter. And desire spiritual gifts. And actually, that gifts again is implied. Desire the Holy Spirit who brings the gifts. All three branches. Our second set of scriptures in Romans 12. For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. That's the diversities. Remember we talked about diversities, differences, variety? So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, go back to your chart again. If prophecy, let us prophesy in the portion of our faith. Or maybe it's ministry, let us use it in our ministry. Or he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberty, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And again, we went all over the chart there on our three branches, didn't we? Oh, okay, we're all over here on that chapter. So what is Paul's point here? He's stressing diversity and unity. At the same time, God gives different gifts to different people so we can serve in different ways, each according to the gifts he has given us to build us together. Look in your notes here now. I don't put it on the slide, so look right in your notes for this one. If he had wanted to, God could have given each of us the ability to do everything, but he didn't. He distributes his gifts, spreads them out, different gifts for each person. And this means we need to get along, work together. Oh, just a hermit. No, God wants you with people. If God simply wanted to get the job done, guess what? He would have done it himself. That's the best way to get it done. But he doesn't. He gives us the work to do because the job is not the most important thing in his plan. We are. He is developing us by having us do the work. That's how he develops us. Again, if getting the job done were the most important thing, God would give each of us all the gifts so that we would be completely self-sufficient. But he doesn't do that, which forces us to work together because that's how he's developing us. Make sense? Ephesians 4, our third set of scriptures. And he himself, Jesus himself, gave these gifts. Some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Evangelists, they reach out to lost. They can communicate his word. Pastors, they care for the flock. They care for the people. That's my job, is to care for all of you. Not to be somebody, but to be there for you. To help you, to mold you, to grow you, to challenge you. To comfort the, what do they say? Afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted or something. I don't know what I did. This is the list of the fivefold ministry. We call these five the fivefold ministry that care. Why do we have them? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So it's not a one-man or a five-man show, but it's a every man, every woman show here. For the edifying of the body of Christ, to build up the body, till we come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. That's our goal, maturity. To the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Fullness of Christ. That's why we're here. We want to be like Christ. That's what we started with. That we should no longer be children. What do? They get tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. You see, they're ignorant. They don't know what they believe. By the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, people are trying to tell you, no, you don't have to believe that. No, you don't have to do that. No. But speaking the truth in love may grow up. He wants us to grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, everybody doing their part according to the effectual working by which every part does its share. Use your gift and do your share. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The fivefold ministry is given to, number one, equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Our job is to equip you to be all that God has called you to be. Why do we have so many teaching programs and so much stuff? People are going, my gosh, I've had so much Jesus crammed into me. That's my job. My job is to get as much of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit into you as I possibly can in your journey down here in this place. I'd be derelict if I didn't. We want to grow you. I don't care if you're 1, 27, or 100. Our job is to continue to keep growing you. Number 2, edify the body of Christ. And number 3, bring us to the unity of faith and make us a perfect man. As the scripture says, a perfect man, whole, looking like Christ. Till he's formed in me. That's our goal. And we take it seriously. So we know, you've heard this before if you've been in Carpenter Series, so we know what we believe and why we believe it. I don't care that you believe what I believe, but you better know what you believe and you better know why you believe it. And that's why we do all that we do to make sure you know why. Why we believe it and are not tossed around like a child, but we grow up and the body, the church, the people are built up. Other gifts. I'm going to spend zero time on these. Other gifts that we have, or I've given you scriptures here. Handcrafting, or an artisan. If you read our scriptures, he talked about how Moses selected two guys. God selected them and gifted them to make all of the elaborate things of the tabernacle. Gifted by God. Music, singing, playing an instrument. God gives you a gift. 3, missions, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. 4, study, discipline, study. Study to show thyself approved. 5, preaching, declaring God's word. 6, hospitality. 7, intercession or effectual fervent prayer. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And there's some people that can pray. When I'm going someplace, I call Steve. I told Carrie, are we going for preaching? I go, text Steve, tell him I'm about on. I want him praying for me. I tell him a lot about my life and what I'm going through because I want him praying for me. He's a prophet. In the additional building materials at the back there on pages 8 through 11, I've given you definitions of all of these, okay? So you have them all. Don't go there now. And also, if you take your spiritual gift assessment, and you find out what you are, I've given you thoughts or areas you might want to serve in that would cause those gifts to be more effective. Therefore, spiritual gifts are, what are they? A special attribute or endowment. 2, they're given by God's Holy Spirit. Oh, man. The Holy Spirit is empowering and enabling us. 3, I'll let you read the scriptures on your own. To every member of the body for ministry. 2, how many members? Most of them? Some of them? A lot of them? 2. Every. Are you a part of every? Yes. Say, I am. A part of every. I have gifts by the Holy Spirit. I like the holy there. Every member. Look what 1 Peter says here. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the, look what it says here now, it's important, ability which God supplies. Not on your own. Not on your own strength, your own talent. But empowered by the Holy Spirit. Number 4, given. These gifts are given according to God's grace. You can't earn salvation. You can't earn spiritual gifts. Gifts are given due to what Christ has already done. He's given you to build up his body. What you can do is ask and receive them. What you can do is ask and receive them. I think there's many in this room who have not reached out their arms and said, Lord Jesus, give me, please, give me, enable me, empower me, show me, what are my gifts? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to do it? Number five, given for the building up of the body, for the edifying of the body. Principles to discovering your gifts. How do I discover what gifts I have? Number one, first, believe you have gifts. And I put the plural there, gifts. Some people go, oh, you only get one. I don't know anywhere it says you get one. It says to one is given in those areas, but there are a whole lot of gifts in different areas and different scriptures where it's talking about a lot more gifts. You just don't have them all. Or you don't operate in them all because we need one another. Believe that you have gifts. Number two, ask God to reveal your spiritual gifts. What are they, Lord? What are they, Lord? Number three, receive teaching. That's what you're doing here today. Study the scriptures. You study them. Look at them. Take a spiritual gift inventory. That's what we're going to do at the end of this. Online, you're going to take a spiritual gift inventory. And it's going to give you the results of that assessment. It's going to be a starting point from, hey, do these fit good on me? It's what I like. Number four, explore gift possibilities. Try them out. I think I might be. Step out in that. On Wednesdays, we encourage people, have a word of knowledge? Come on up here. Try one. Ask the Lord. Give me a word of knowledge, Lord. And then come up here on Wednesday. You're not going to affect anybody here on Sunday where you're off. But you come up there and you're going, hey, and you say something. Nobody responds. You don't go, oh. I don't know how many people, when they take a baby and say, walk, and it takes one step and falls down and go, well, you're not good at that. You're absolutely awful at this. You should try flying because it ain't going to work with walking. And we think, oh, it didn't work. Oh, man, get in there. Try him. Have a prophecy or an encouragement from the Lord? Give it. Don't do it privately with somebody else and go, hey, the Lord spoke something to me, and you whisper in their ear. It needs to be judged, so it needs to be talked about with amongst other mature people. So don't go out there going, hey, I got a word. You should switch your major. You should marry Bobby. I am Bobby. Oh, I. Try him. Remember the 80-20 principle. 80%, you want to be utilizing your gifts, doing stuff. But remember, there's the other 20% where you just need to do it. You just need to do it. There's a job to do. You need to, you know, I am not gifted in family chores. That's why I do not come on Saturday. Family chores, I'm not gifted there. It's not my spiritual gift. Well, we have a job and we need to get her done. I don't have the gift, but God has the need, all right? So we do it. We do it. Some of it, we're called to be servants. God is looking for your availability as much as your ability or giftings that he's given you. Sometimes we do it because we just have to do it. You don't go to your job and go, look, I talk to your boss and go, you know, I'd love to do this project, but I'm not gifted there. And then he would say to you, and you're not working here. Number five, evaluate your effectiveness. Try it. See how it goes. But remember, you don't hit a home run every time. Sometimes you just fall flat and get up and keep going. Keep on. Keep moving. Number six, expect confirmation from the body. Some people are going to go, wow, that was cool. You did that. Oh, that was neat. You're going to get some feedback. Number seven, examine your feelings, but don't live by them. If you live by your feelings, you're going to go wrong. Feelings aren't always correct, but I'm saying this, does it fit on you? I enjoy doing that. I stepped out, it was scary. Now remember, don't look at fear and think, oh, I was nervous, so therefore it's not my gift. I'm scared every time I get behind this pulpit. Okay, my palms sweat. I start talking to you. People go, oh, you don't seem nervous. I go, well, yeah, you're not in here. It's going, okay, usually once I get going, then all that kind of turns into, hey, I'm liking this. I'm nervous. We let our fear stop us from taking any steps anywhere. And God goes, step out. Don't be a chicken. Step out. Watch what God can do. Do you like doing what you're doing? Do you like operating in that gift? Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Number 8, examine your motives. Remember, we're communicating the meat, not your gift. Hey, look at me. Look at my bread, man. My bread's bigger than your bread. What should we do with spiritual gifts? Number 1, don't neglect them. 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Don't neglect the gift that is in you. We are not to neglect the spiritual gifts that we have or refuse to develop and grow them. Yeah, I have that gift, but I just don't do much. I don't know if you have that gift and God says, exercise it, get going, get proficient at it, move for more. By the way, on Sundays, we have people that we know who have been exercising that gift, who are very proficient, and we know that they hear from the Lord. That's why they're approved to come up here and minister the way they were. And we had a song of the Lord here too, given as a kind of a word of knowledge. But on Wednesdays, I'm saying, come on, come all. We can do it then. That's our training ground. Yeah. On Sundays, not so much. All right? Until you're proficient. You're proficient, we want to move you on to other things and let you exercise in other arenas. Number 2, what do we do with spiritual gifts? Stir them up. Amen. Everybody say, I'm stirred. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. You know, has anybody ever taken and had hot chocolate, or not hot chocolate, but just chocolate? Wow, we filled that to the top. Catherine, could you, there's a little more room in there. You could have put some more in here. Huh? Okay, there we go. All right, she's just seeing how I would handle on my feet. I landed on my back on that one, okay. Here is Hershey's chocolate, and we poured it in. And you know what happened? It just went to the bottom. If you're gonna drink this chocolate milk, would you wanna drink it like that? Because it wouldn't be chocolate milk, would it? It's chocolate and milk. You're gonna go, oh, it was milk, and then you're gonna go, oh, wow, that's a lot of chocolate. What do? You stir up the gift that is in you. That's a lot of chocolate. And there are some people saying, and hallelujah to God for that. And there are other people saying, no, not me. How many people are saying hallelujah to God for this? Who would like to have this? Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to go right over here. Here, you drink some. It's good. And hallelujah to God, all right? Ooh, that is really chocolatey. Do you like it that chocolatey? It's super chocolatey. Who likes, you like it real chocolatey? Because I tasted that and it was like chocolate. Okay, all right.
You have to syrup on your spoon.
Oh, is that what happened? Oh, okay, great. Stir it up! Stir it up! A lot of times we gotta stir it up in my heart, Lord. That is why I'm not on the worship team, man. Believe me, I'm just Stir it up! Don't let it settle. Oh, I haven't been moving in that gift. That's why it's settled to the bottom, and it's a big clump down there at the bottom, stirred up in your life. Good. Number 3, use them. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, let us, our instruction here about gifts is to what? Use them. Don't let them sit idle in you. God gave them to you for a reason, to build up his body. Let me bring it down to a conclusion. The purpose of spiritual gifts. Each member will know his or her spiritual job description. All members will be able to work together in love, harmony, and effectiveness, thus avoiding pride, envy, and false humility. The whole body will mature. The church will grow. your purpose, calling, and destiny will be recognized and utilized. And God will be glorified. That's what we sang about this morning. If we don't use our gifts, the above just doesn't happen. Will you use your gifts for the kingdom of God? I've given you a concluding verse here, and I ask that you kind of go through and you can read that verse in Ephesians on your own. The body of Christ, the body of Christ, He's given us gifts. Are you using yours? Are you utilizing yours? Have you developed it? Have you discovered it? Remember, at the end of all of this, you're going to meet with a consultant at the end who's going to go through all of this stuff with you, and it's going to be absolutely fantastic. But you have to sign up for the class in order to go with a consultant. So make sure you can still, not too late to sign up for the class. Let's pray. Father, help us not to neglect, but to stir up and use the gifts that you've given us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we love you. We need you. We want to work the way you want us to, Lord, with the gifts that you've given us, that we might be so effective. Effective for the kingdom of God. We love you. We bless you. And I thank you for all these people, Lord, who want those gifts to be alive and moving in their lives. Bless them now. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. 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 If you need prayer for anything, come on up here. We're going to pray for you. If you need Christ, we're going to pray for you. If you need salvation, we'll pray for you. If you need anything else, we're going to pray for you. If you need to spend time at the altar talking to the Lord, you're welcome to do that as well. And know that we love you very, very much. You're amazing folks, and I consider it a privilege every Sunday that I get to get up here and address you and preach. You guys are awesome. Love you tons. Ellis has a couple of things, right?
I do. Just a few.